Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. I don't know, broke physics last week. You definitely got me sick virtually. So, I'm not going to lie, we had a couple of listeners message in that are also crook after listening to last week's episode. So, something special is unfolded. And, yeah, a few of us are feeling a bit under the weather. And you're patient zero.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just transmitting through those airwaves. Well, I'm feeling less real shit today. So, we're getting there. The days are all right. The night's not so good. So, we'll go from there. Hopefully, I can put out some better vibes this weekend.
Nice, nice.
So, obviously, not up to much this week then.
I've been going to work every day, just kind of feeling sorry for myself, getting through it. Couple of cool things at work this week. Obviously, it's Reconciliation Week. And what that meant for me this morning was, as we do a few things to celebrate at work, was I got to have kangaroo sausages for breakfast. And that was a pretty mighty fine way to start the day.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I've actually been getting into a bit of the kangaroo lately. With substituting some of my kangaroo mince. So I made a nice lasagna the other day with kangaroo mince instead of beef, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, get around it. It's a potential not light, though, is that how expensive it is. I used to get right around kangaroo about a decade ago for financial reasons only. But you can't get around kangaroo for financial reasons now. It's bloody expensive.
Yeah, there you go.
It used to be the cheapest thing on the block.
Okay, there you go. So, did you see today, just not too long ago, that Dazza posted something very spicy in the Street League chat?
Oh, I know. It's like he's hooking a brother up. He knows that we're about to go to record, and he's like, oh, I've got a bit of a spicy news for the pod, and I did. I did see a little teaser.
Street League 2 coming very soon, which I can't get enough of. Very excited for that. I loved Street League last year. We are the champions as well, so why would we not want number 2 to come back? But apparently short a couple captains, so I don't know how they've lost 3 captains.
Yeah, who's moved overseas? Like, what's happened? I mean, Barnett was a captain, and he's definitely into...
Oh, yeah, Barney's gone. So I don't know about the rest, but they just didn't want that responsibility, maybe.
Maybe. A pain in the ass. Like, I mean, you obviously play basketball, but through cricket, footy, whatever it was, whenever I had some form of responsibility in any of those clubs, that's about the same time I quit playing.
That's gold. Yeah, I just wouldn't... I wouldn't want to commit to having to be there all the time.
No.
So that's why I don't think I'll put my hand up. But, keen to see who does and very keen to see how it goes. I reckon we might end up with more people this time too, because it was pretty popular last time.
It certainly was. It'd be interesting to see how it shakes out, whether or not how the draft works, whether or not we have legions to our geographic location. Who knows?
Spicy. That could be cool. And what about the Battle of the Burps? Haven't heard anything about that forever. What time did we do that last year? What time of the year?
Oh, who knows? You tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. It was warmish, I feel like. I just can't remember if we've missed our boat, like if it was meant to be earlier in the year or not. But, need to get that shit going. Maybe not now. I'm actually in a bit of a slump. So might not get selected. But, you and Dazza, you guys will sort that shit out.
Yeah,
you guys are still technically the two best players from different areas that play consistently.
Consistently enough. Yeah, maybe maybe it's a way to kick off the Street League 2.0 is a little Battle of the Burbs warm-up morning round or something.
Could be. All right. Another little handy tidbit went our way, knowing that the pod was coming tonight. So there was a survey put out for Melbourne Celebrates, for anyone who wanted, to find out what the format was going to be for the Melbourne Celebrates, whether it was going to be like last year, one round a day over 2 days, and yeah, we have tea times, or if they were going to do more like the Ruffy Rumble model, where just division split over 2 days and punching out two shotgun starts. What was your vote?
Definitely Ruffy Rumble. 1 day commitment is my jam as a dad.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about yourself?
Well, they had a very good response. I forgot to respond, which is pretty annoying. I was going to respond with the two rounds in a day, though. I'm a fan of that.
Yep.
Definitely. But lots and lots of people did. We had 47 responses for two rounds in a day and 15 for one round per day.
There you go.
So 75%. So I'm fair to say they're going to go with the people. But that's crazy. Since when do we get, 62 responses to a disc golf survey?
Oh, no. That's huge. And that's a landslide victory too.
Yeah, yeah, big time. It'd be hard to justify anything else with that setup. So, yeah, pretty cool. Excited for that, and I think we should be seeing Reggio opened probably early next week.
I can't wait to get back out to, what was the name of the joint again? Burwood? Where was it?
Bundoora Park.
Bundoora Park, that's it. I wonder if it's like riding a bike. I wonder once I step back into the park, I remember all the trees I used to hit.
Yeah, that's it. I've never been, so keen to check it out myself. The other stuff that we have a bit of an update on is the Aussie Open.
Yes.
A couple more people have registered to that, and a couple more 1,000 rated people have opened, have registered for that, which is pretty cool. So where am I looking at? There's five of them, I think, now.
Correct.
Five in MPO, with Levi Stout joining the ranks, the young New Zealander.
Yep.
And was Dylan there before?
He was.
Okay, so it might be that Noah Higgins that has jumped on. I feel like we didn't have all them last time.
No.
One thing that I just realized too, so Dylan is going to go play this, but didn't put his hand up for the teams event.
Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
Yeah,
and Dave Perry, who is playing the teams event, I don't see his name on this list.
Correct.
So maybe they'll just high-five each other on the airport when they swap out. But odd.
I don't see your name on this list either.
No, I don't go to WA. That's too far.
Were you toying with it?
Nah, not even a little bit.
Okay. What's
not even?
What's the cash required to sign up? What's the buy-in fee?
I think it's like $300 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that sit with you?
Yeah, it's too much. That's too much for me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't look into it. I remember Cam posted something about cool $300. I was like, oh, okay. Nah. No, I don't need that in my life.
It's a bit is it light on at just 50 players? What do you reckon they were expecting at this stage?
Well, we're still pretty far out,
yeah.
So I'm not sure. I think once maybe like other countries sort out their team stuff, but yeah, they definitely if they don't get like at least 100, I'd say they'd be very disappointed, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Even with it just being like a top tier thing, I think the only divisions available are MA and FA1 and above. And then all pro age predicted divisions, but still, I feel like they'll be wanting 100. But yeah, I don't know. It's maybe they're just wanting the quality rather than the quantity. Not sure.
True, true.
But there's plenty of quality. Like there's the MP40 division starting to get pretty fat too. A couple thousand rated people into that. Couple very close to, a bunch of very close to 1,000 rated people as well. So it is looking pretty good. And yeah, some of the Aussies are starting to jump in there. The MA1 division is starting to fill up a little bit. But yeah, definitely a lot of internationals, like crazy amount of internationals. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. There's still, like, I don't even think all of the Team Australia is in it at the moment. Well, I know they're definitely not. So I guess maybe not all of them are keen to stay the extra week. I definitely would. Like, I'm saying that, like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool if they did, but that's so much time off work for disc golf. You know what I mean? Like, it all sounds good, 1 week flowing into the next. But, like, I don't know. Let's say you were not, like, 986 rated or 982 rated Austin.
Yeah.
But it's you. Yeah, you were just that good.
Yeah.
And you got invited to the teams thing.
Yeah.
You sticking around for this?
No, it's hard to imagine being that good, but no. No, I wouldn't. No, of course not. I couldn't yeah, sell, like, even if I didn't have a kid, I couldn't sell that to the boss. You know, I've taken 2 weeks leave, you know, leave that I would spend on a family holiday at another time. I'm not going to spend on a disc golf holiday. It's a lot of leave.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not trying to progress. I think that it's a smart idea that they've done it.
Yeah, of course.
It sounds bad. Like, it sounds like I'm shitting on it. I think it's a smart idea that they've done it. But I, yeah, I wouldn't expect a shit ton of people from Australia outside of WA to come to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely, like, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the Team Australia people don't double up, because it's just a lot.
The other thing I'll throw into the mix as well, even as an international, like, if I'm coming out to Australia, yeah, I'll probably make a holiday of it. That doesn't mean I'm going to stay in Perth and play disc golf for 2 weeks. That means I'm probably going to move around and make a holiday of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Try to check out some more of the... Go and see Glorious Molong.
Exactly.
One of the big, big destinations in Australia.
It's probably not far from the Big Prawn or something like that, is it?
Yeah, it could be. Well, that has opened up as well. Did you manage to get in on Sunday night? Did you luckily get a spot?
I did not attempt to. But, like, the more I look at it, and it's crazy. A lot of people did attempt to, and a lot of divisions sold out.
Yeah, definitely. In the first weekend, the higher division stuff, you've got MA1 has 35 of its 35 done.
Yep.
I snagged one of those spots, gave over $180 odd of my hard earned, which was big. Oh, I wasn't quite expecting that. I remember last year being expensive, but I don't remember being that expensive. So I don't know. We'll see how much value that is once the tournament's done, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. But anyway, 35 of them all filled up and 8 on the wait list.
Mental. So
they need to learn that the MPO, we couldn't give us stuff, that we need to get the MA1. That's the king division. So open it up. I'm sure they will, because there's 150 spots available and there's 112 already in, which is pretty wild. But the MA40 also capped out. So 25 of 25 of those guys in at the moment. MP40 pretty good, 14 out of the 20 spots. And MPO pretty decent too, 28 out of 40. So the only really ones not getting close to their caps are the women's divisions, which is not a surprise. Like, there's 15 spots allocated for the FPO, and there aren't 15 FPO players in Australia. So even if every single one of them played, it'd still only be like 9, right?
Yeah, for sure. Question. Fastest finger first. You got 8 people on the wait list in MA1. How many of them are higher rated than 825?
Let me have a quick look. Well, a few names I'm unfamiliar with. A lot of names I'm unfamiliar with, so no idea. Paul Komnenos is 900 plus rated. I'm pretty confident about that. He's an old bloke, though. I think he's in the MA50s normally. So maybe he just wants to be on that weekend. But most of the other names I'm not too familiar with. Jeremy Davies. I think that might be Tim Davies' brother. He's there or thereabouts. But yeah, the others I'm not so sure. Have you got the ratings there, or are you just unfamiliar with their names?
No, just looking at the MA1 list that made it, and the bottom. And the bottom of that list is pretty slim on. They are definitely playing the wrong weekend. And I just was wondering if there was a few, 920 MA1 players missing out, I'd be pretty salty.
True.
Missing their opportunity to actually play for the title of AM champion, as you so nearly grasped until you choked. But he got a couple of blokes just making up numbers, taking those spots. I just had a wondering.
Now, well, they will get in. Eventually, they'll open it. They did the same thing last year. Once it doesn't hit a certain number. So I'm sure all those guys will get in. And then, we'll have 40-plus people in MA1 for sure. But it is very worrying that I am 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm the 8th highest-rated player.
Top 10.
There.
Top 10, baby.
That's not good. It's not a thick field. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. Shit. I'm going to beat Pritt, BJ, Ed. Psh, done. Don't know some of these other names, and I probably won't beat Hayden. But but yeah, I could sniff out another second here, I reckon.
Nice.
Things stay the same.
The bridesmaid. Let's get it.
Exactly. But in the MPO, Levi Stout popping over as well. So he can shake some things up there. Levi versus Dylan. It's going to be a pretty spicy battle. And Jacko coming over as well.
Not seeing David Perry's name yet.
Nah. He probably doesn't even know it's on.
It's
to be fair.
That's true. Lucky he's a listener. You'll hear it tonight.
Yeah, exactly. But on that, a lot of the names. So Bainey and Austin, they're doing the teams event, and they're doing nationals, and they're doing Aussie Open, which is pretty wild. And I'm very confident they'll get to Eruption. What does Austin? What does Aussie do?
Proper throwvember. What does Aussie do?
Yeah.
Apparently, he's a professional.
Any idea?
A professional disc golfer, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice, but not enough of the Melbourne crew popping over for my liking. So we got Ville in MPO, but I'm not seeing Ryan Deer. I'm not seeing Aiden. Not see you or Dazza
or Leo.
Or Leo. So I don't know what's going on. You guys know it's in New South Wales, right? Like you can drive there.
Yeah, you can drive. Yeah. There. I can also drive to Eruption, and I wonder if that's what a few people are thinking.
Yeah, you can do both. They're not real close to each other. A few weeks apart, I think.
Yeah, I might look. Hey, I might do both. I'm a sneaky chance to do both, but I'm definitely have a firmer eye on Eruption than I do on this.
Mm.
How long is the drive to Molong?
Oh, I don't know. It's not a good one. I'm definitely pretty sad about that. I'm more keeping an eye out for flights to Orange, if I'm being honest.
Who flies there?
I don't know. Whoever flies to like Rex and all those other ones.
Okay, that's interesting. It's only just had a quick look. It's only about an 8.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
So it's double the frigging distance to Eruption. That's rough.
Yeah, but it's twice as good as the course.
Yeah, but hour 35 flight to Orange. Good shout.
Yeah. Now Orange is a goer.
Rex, but normally, Qantas, like, few people fly there.
Yeah, but everything I've looked, every time I've looked before, they're like $1 billion.
Yeah, I'm signing up
It's
for a credit
crazy.
card at the moment, because obviously I'm about to go on an overseas trip, and with that credit card that I sign up to,
Bonus miles.
I might have to just hook up some Qantas miles. A lot of specials on it offer at the moment. Oh, this is all coming up, Milhouse. I might even fly a bit of Jacob style, fly business class.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. But weekend two is doing all right as well. So we got 112 players for weekend one. And I guess they're doing it backwards this time. Maybe this is to capitalize potentially on the people at the Aussie Open. Not sure. But weekend two has 88 players already. And I feel like that's maybe how... How many it finished with last year?
Yeah, I know. That's already big for sure. That is already big. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at a big tournament, like we're definitely going to end up with like 200, 250, which would be pretty sick.
Yeah. I feel like MA2 tapped out at like 16 or something ridiculous last year. I was giving MA2 loads of shit and it's already got 24 signed up.
Yeah. So big things are coming. And yeah, even then, not enough of our Melbourne people going to that either, I don't think. Like, I'm not saying Penn's name there. I'm not seeing Picanti. I'm not seeing, like, MA2 is where Melbourne's at.
Yeah, true.
At the moment. And I'm seeing Mitch Evers' name there. But Tommy Jankar's rolling out. Good for him. But, I mean, where's Stoyer? Where's like Austin? Where's like where are these people at? What are you doing? It's fucking nationals, guys. Let's get out there.
I'm telling ya, we need a helicopter.
Helicopter, Melbourne Disc Golf Club.
Helicopter. Yeah. Has Jeff hung up the boots yet?
Is what?
Has Jeff hung up the boots yet?
Jeff hung up the boots.
Is he still Prez?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well...
No, sorry. He's retired.
Could have been his parting gesture. All right, I'm just spending all that. I'm going to buy a helicopter for the club.
Nice. Well, he's going, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's up. He's in the MFA.
Yeah, I see his name at MFA.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good chance. So, cool. Speaking of the old man... So, we don't normally like to talk about other states' shitty little one-day tournaments. But when two of our favorites head over to WA for unrelated reasons and happen to be there for a tournament, then we better check in on it. So, Jeff's over in Perth at the moment for work, and Oscar is over just having fun.
Correct.
And somehow Jeff found out that Oscar was there and then told him that the Mandalorian was on last weekend. And so they both signed up and they both had pretty janky bags, I think. Not much of their regular setup.
Yep.
But had a pretty good crack.
Yeah, they did.
So... So this was at the Mandarin course. They've done a few of these now, the Mandalorian. Midas Touch, this one's called. So I don't know, some sort of gold flavor, I guess.
Yep.
Maybe they played on the gold course. Not sure. But MPO, Blake Houston murdered the field. 11 strokes clear of Alex Kanasten in second place, like. What is going on there?
Yeah, convincing.
Yeah, that's why he's on that Australian team.
Yeah.
And I think Finney won over Noisy in a playoff.
Correct.
So just Edge, just putting his little nose ahead just to let him know that's why he got picked.
Yep.
But in MA1, it was pretty hot. Decent first round for Oscar. Had him sort of there or thereabouts. And betted it by one in the second round and just missed out. So sneaks into second place behind Shawnee Dobbs, who I know is an avid listener because last week when I was talking about not being able to find an FD, he sent me a screenshot of his website with a million of them available. and S-Line FD. So I had to clarify that I needed in a pinch from the Melbourne stores.
Yeah.
And none of them, well, only Bespoke had one in stock. So, but thanks for that, Shawnee. And well done. Very nice win there.
That's a good get.
So good golf too, like 940 odd rated for the day. And yeah, Oscar right there. I think he said it came down to the last hole, right?
Yeah, it did. From memory. Yeah, it did. Dobbsy got the birdie on the last to get the victory. And they leapfrogged Michael Whippy. Whippy went into the second round with the lead and got chased down by both Oscar and Dobbsy.
So very nice. Not bad for a bit of a janky bag there, Oscar. Well done.
Correct.
And then in the MA50, the old man who went in a pretty good underdog. Like, I think he was the lowest. Yeah, he was. He was the lowest
nearly
rated
the lowest
player
rated in the field. There. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't see Scott. Yeah. So second low, he was the fifth rated out of the six that showed up. And his old foe, JB, the other JB, Jason Brown, in the field. And he was always going to be tough to beat in WA, but not a factor. It was Michael Canty out early. And Jeff raking a few back in the second round. And yes, gets second place as well, just a couple strokes behind Michael. So look at that. Just happened to be in the area, and we get a couple good, solid second places. So
love that. Taking up space on the podium, as we should be.
Yeah, and hot rounds for Jeff too. So like Oscar, just definitely well above rating. Almost a 900 rated second round for Jeff. So doing plenty. Doing plenty. All right, what do we got? What do we got next? We didn't have any of the Pro Tour stuff to worry about, but there was disc golf out in Ballarat because there was no Melbourne Social Leagues either.
Correct.
And we've been shaming them for... Well, not shaming, just like trying to encourage our listeners to get out there because the numbers have been abysmal.
Correct.
And they're listening. The people are listening. Look at that. We had, 17, but I guess Duncan didn't show up. So 16 come out. That's like four times as many as there last time.
Yeah, and I'm taking full credit for this. Wayne hit me up on Wayne hit me up on socials, and I thought, you know what, am I stuck in traffic or am I the traffic? And I thought, let's be part of the solution here. And I chucked up on socials a little promotion, hit this link, register here, and I tell you what, that's where the 16 names came from, was our little promotion. So great to see them all turn up.
You're welcome, Ballarat Disc Golf. Yeah. I think they were out on the yellows.
Yes.
In at Vic Park.
Yes.
So nice, fun. One of my favorite, most fun courses to play in all Victoria. And Don Carter, did he have some fun?
Wowee.
Wowee. You ever gone neg 11 on the yellows?
Have I?
Yeah.
I was asking. Yes, I have. I once got a neg 13 in a PDGA rated round.
Oh, jeez. I didn't know that. What did that rate?
Oh, jeez. You know, I'd have to go dig. It got 1,000. It was 1,000. Yeah,
There you go. So Don's like mid 980s there.
Well, according to metrics, it's a 10-10 rated round.
Yeah, but metrics don't know
shit.
Yeah,
possibly. Possibly.
But still, yeah, that's some fucking very good golf. I've never come close to neg 11 at on the yellows there. So sick done by him. He takes over Tim Bowen by 4 strokes. So clean cards for both those boys. But neg 7 in second place for Timmy B. And then Sam Stoyer, that's my sweet spot, the neg 5. That's where I live. Sammy gets that, and I always say if you're like a decent disc golfer, like a MA1 golfer, you get an egg fire for showing up, and you do with it what you can from there. And Sammy just showed up. So good job, mate.
Yeah, well done.
Who's this guy in fourth, though, mate? Who are you seeing there?
Torpedo.
Pat Thorpe.
I know, right?
What?
I know. I didn't know the man existed. Ever since, you know, I come up with some theories about some shenanigans, I have not seen this man. And maybe he had nothing to do with some shenanigans. And he showed his face. Who knows what's going on there? -4.
There you go. Yeah, Pat Thorpe playing disc golf again. So good to see.
Great.
Always good
great,
to see.
Great to see. Just having a quick glance. Wow, this is crazy. The last time he played anything like a metrics round, this is non-PDGA, was October 2022.
Holy crap.
It's been a hot minute.
And yeah, I don't even, like, maybe he showed up to one of the Ballarat events, but I doubt it. I can't remember. Like, I feel like it's been forever since I've seen him. So, well.
There you go.
There you go. And then our boy Picanti Beans showed up with neg one. So, not too bad. A few bogeys just giving him some grief there and a double on 8. But getting into the negas is all right.
Very much so.
Who are we here? Don obviously takes out the handicap result too. That's such a good
score. Not
often
do you see the raw score winner take out the handicap win.
Nah, but that's clearly so good. And 891 rated metrics player shooting 1,000 rated metrics round. Yeah. That'll do it.
So good. So good. Yeah, that's a really good score. I just had a quick look. It was at the 2023 Golden City Classic. I shot a -12, not a -13. And it came in at 1,005.
Wow, there you go. So, yeah, if assuming similar enough conditions, then he's in the 990s.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. 999.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Very, very nice. Sick job there, Don. Yeah. Love to see that. So, yeah, I mentioned we didn't have any social days in Melbourne, but we did get some fantastic information from Sam Stoyer, right? We've got a updated social day leaderboard.
Oh, that came in from Mr. Evans, did it not?
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I couldn't remember who it was from.
Yeah, I think...
From Alex Evans.
Correct.
So, because I think Metrics has been playing funny buggers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And which they haven't been able to sort it out.
The way Alex told me about it is, like, as everyone knows, I had no idea. Did you know?
Yeah. It was probably... I don't go to enough of them to worry about what the leaderboard looks like. So, but I'm sure it was in one of the chats. I'm sure it would have been.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wasn't paying attention. But, yeah, must be something weird happened with the league results and it's not showing up, or I don't know.
It's something to do with the divisions. I'm not happy with Alex's spreadsheet.
Oh, why is that?
Because on Metrics, I think I'm sitting in a nice like 11th or something respectable, and on his spreadsheet, I'm in like 23rd. Once the errors are fixed, I'm like not even top 20.
Well, you got to show up to more than one event, I think. Two events. Yeah. So who's at the top? Who's doing the work?
Peter Chu's doing damage with quite a chunky lead, to be honest. He's 60 points ahead of Mike van der Linden and like another further near 100 points ahead of Aiden Howard in third. So still three up our sleeve, but Aiden needs to turn up to them and get some hundreds. Otherwise, Peter Chu's running away with his season.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't like that. That's cool. Like he's good enough, and you got if people aren't showing up and you're showing up, You can snake a win. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'll be what Ryan Deere, Peter Chu.
If Ryan Deere rocks up to the next three, and wins them all, he will easily win.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's only played the six events. Obviously, your best eight count. And of his six events for Ryan Deere, five of them are 100s. So he's in a good spot. Aiden Deere is sitting on just the one 100, but he definitely can catch. But you got Mark Green sitting in fourth.
Mm.
So there you go. You turn up and you get points.
Yep. That is how it works. yeah, so Melton this week, I thought I was actually going to make it out. I was going to do a bit of disc golf this weekend, but I forgot that Dana ended up getting, she's on stuff where you can get cheap tickets to shows and things, and I guess she won a raffle to get like $45 tickets to go see Wicked on the matinee perfect. On Saturday, so going out to that, so it should be fun. Saw it last time I was in town, and it's very good. So, keen for that. But, yeah, I'll miss out on Melton, unfortunately. I've got to check out Aaron's putting together a nice little tournament course there. So, I'm very keen to check that out. He's got some pretty cool holes from the little maps he's drawn me. So, I'm very, very excited to go check that out and nut out a possible later tournament. Melton.
Beautiful. I'm signed up for Melton. I managed to jag the last spot on Hardy's card. Obviously, Hardy blitzed it there that one time with like a minus 12. So I just wanted ringside seats to see how he goes this weekend.
Excellent. Staff room on hole 8 for sure.
Exactly.
So one thing I'm pretty confident you'll be doing this weekend is a bit of step.
Probably on hole 8.
And step putting has, it's quieted down now a little bit, but it was a bit of a point of contention this year. So I think a lot of photos were coming out of KT.
Kristen Tatar.
Like people getting some good footage of her full flight, you know, sending a putt. Looks awesome. But then people realized, disc is in her hand and she is well off the ground. So she kind of became the poster child for foot faults in step putting. But most people sort of agreed that pretty much everyone would do it. Like, especially if you're jump putting, you're doing it. If you're step putting, maybe not so much. But if you're jump putting, you're almost certainly foot faulting.
Correct.
So people were, you know, there was a lot of discussion on, you know, how that needs to be called, if people need to be more aggressive on it. If officials need to be doing it, like especially on the pro tour, but what are your thoughts as a lover of the step putt? I can't do it. I'm spastic. I can't do it at all. But as a lover of the step putt, like, do you think you're one? You reckon you're foot faulting? Like,
not at all.
Or even when he's like,
not at all.
I'm sure your closer ones, your edge ones, aren't so bad.
Yeah. So like, if I'm at 19 meters, or like if I'm at like 17 or out. You know, maybe if we had a slow motion camera, I tell you when I'm definitely foot folding, if I'm straddling from 11, like if I'm forced into a straddle, I think I'd definitely bounce off both toes, with that putt, but I'd still be keen to see it on camera. But yeah, with my normal step up, anything from 10 to 15 meters, I don't even think I'm close to step putting. Just with my technique, my center of gravity, when I release the disc, I'm like, I haven't even put my center of gravity past my front knee yet by the time I've released the disc. So I don't even think I'm close.
Yeah, no, I think yours is, especially that little one, that little just stab.
Yeah.
I don't think that foot faults. But, so I don't know, what are your thoughts on it? Are you in the same boat that you think most people probably do? Do you care? Like, is it something you've noticed when you've played? Have you ever called anyone?
No, you would never call anyone, and I don't care. No, no one's doing it as an advantage. I think it's a rule that needs readdressing. Honestly, like, you're not doing it to get an advantage. You're not shooting 3 points in basketball and landing in front of the line because it's just natural. Like, it's just you're moving towards the target. Like, you're not doing a fadeaway putt. Like, I think it's a bit of a silly rule. No one's doing, like, there are some interesting, you know, steppers. Nico LeCastro's one where, like, he's got some weird ones where he's like, he's trying to make an 8.5 meter putt and he does hop off. And I don't know, there's some contentious ones there. But I think for the most part, nah, couldn't care less.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why it's a thing. I couldn't care. Like, why can't you do it? Like, as long as you've left from behind your lie, I don't understand why it's a big deal. Like, why not be able to jump and stuff? Like, I get it might be a weird look. Like, if it's a windy day and you're, like, 3 meters out, you know, like, people do get nervy about those putts. Like, maybe they just sort of jump and then try to toss it in. But I feel like most people in disc golf are not athletic. So that's going to stuff people up more than anything else. Yeah. So I think they should be able to do whatever. As long as you have left the ground behind your lie and the disc is gone before you land, I don't understand why it's a rule at all.
Yeah. No, I just quickly Googled it. The long jump world record is 8.96 meters. So even if Ivan Pedrosto got into disc golf, he could take up a really long run, jump, and eventually he would still just like have to make a putt. And maybe that's a future game. Like, let's play long jump putting and see how accurate people are. Because, like I said, I just don't think people are doing it to gain an advantage.
Yeah, and like I said, even from as close as like 3 meters, I think if people were to try it, I think that'd be more trash than they think. Like, if you try to sort of jump and then get as close as you can to the basket and then sort of tick it out, like, yeah, you should make it, but you should make a 3 meter putt anyway. But I feel like some people will be a lot more shaky than they realize. And then it'll be, I don't know, especially you start stepping that out more. You're worried about a windy putt on a 5 meter one on, like, let people fuck it up, I think. Like, I wouldn't do anything different. Like, I'm not going to start jumping, doing that shit if I could. But, I find it weird. I think it's a weird rule and I don't really understand it. And I don't think that, like, the pro, Yuli and Brody were talking about it, and Brody's idea was just to move the concept further. Like, it's got to be 15 out or 20 out. Like, you can't do it within C2 or something now. But I don't get the point of that. You should just be able to do it whenever you want, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a different conversation a little bit. Like, I don't know if in the future of disc golf, on the pro tour in particular, do they need to be looking for ways for just to create more scoring separation? And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the circle one, circle two rulings and things change. Not at PDGA, but on the DGPT, I wonder if things do get different in that space in the coming years.
Yeah, I could see something like that, just because people are so fucking good at putting now that...
Yeah.
And especially Circle 2. Like, people are so good at Circle 2 putts now. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I think the person who's leading is getting, like, 40% of them in.
Yeah.
Or something like that, which is just out of control.
It's so crazy.
So, I could definitely see them doing something like that. But for general people, let them fly.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I don't think we've missed that. Sorry. We did do the leaderboard. I don't think we missed anything. Should we finish out with some spotlight, not light?
Yeah, definitely. I've got some. What about you?
Sweet. I've got a spotlight. I'll try to work on a not light. I'll see how I go.
All right. You go first.
What have you got?
You go first with your spotlight. Oh,
okay. So my spotlight goes to our boy Aaron Picanti Beans.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you noticed. I guess you didn't, but on his metrics.
Oh, I love this.
He has changed his name. Oh, okay. There you go. It's so good. He changed his last name to like the phonetics, or not even phonetics, but just like PI-Cant-Y. He changed it to Picanti.
Perfect.
So good. Just leaning into it.
Yeah, I love it. Sick spotlight. I had it as an honorable mention. I'm glad you spotted it as well. Couldn't not spot it. Great work, Aaron. That is quality. But no, my actual spotlight this week has to go to none other than Alan Mainpar. So we went through the Ballarat results, and we went through, obviously, Don Carter taking out of the top. But the very next name on that list is a young Alan Mainpar. And I thought, geez, okay, well done. Obviously, hard to get Don done that particular week because Don's had one out of the blocks. Click on Alan's name, and he has shot a cool 115 rating points above his rating for that league day.
Damn.
Yeah. So, a cool round. Fun fact, this is like less of a spotlight, but I will share it. Fun fact, the only player at the league day not to get a birdie. However, did not get very many bogeys, hence why he came in with just a plus four, which included a double bogey. So great round, Alan. You're my spotlight this week.
Sick. I like that. Very good.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything. So
pile on with
not,
me.
Not
pile,
enough happened this pile week. Yeah, on yeah, yeah.
Because I got one. I got one. I couldn't get it past the board of directors, but I've been working on a few social media posts this week, and the board of directors. Overruled, and did not let me run with a couple of things I had working in the wind. But I'll come out on air.
Who's the board of directors?
Yourself and just everyone in our group chats.
I remember this. I said, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And sure. So, yeah, anyway.
Anyway, my not light has to go to Park Media's editing crew. I'm going to go as far to say bring back justice because I am desperately waiting to see some Australian disc golf, and it has been too long. The drought has been too long. They have got, must have hard drives piling up in those short shorts, and I just need to see some Australian disc golf, boys. Where's it at? Bring it to us. Bring it to the people.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's definitely on with that. Like, when was Sizzler? Sizzler was like February.
2023? I don't know. Was it even this year?
Like, we haven't had the Sizzler. I don't think the Sizzler's out yet. I know the Tassie Open isn't. And that was March or something. But yeah, I don't think February Sizzler's out too. So I'm G'd up. I need it. And yeah, like you said, they got hard drives full of it. So, yep, good. Not like by you, because yeah, we went pretty hard on Justice.
We did, and we
rightfully so at the time, because Park was so good, they were punching shit out so fast. But yeah, I don't know. This is maybe like an Uber situation where it's all good to start off with, and then once you kill the taxi, you just
just go casual.
Yeah, just go casual. All right, boys, we know they listen, so they got to get on it. This might, I might have my invite onto the clubhouse rescinded.
Rescinded.
Especially when I'm going to go on there to do Between Two Chains and give them a lot of shit. But we'll see how we go. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.